Flavored yogurt, 1/3 cup of finely ground almonds, 4 tablespoons of honey, 1/4 teaspoon of olive oil. 1. In a medium bowl, stir together all ingredients until fully incorporated. 2. Apply to cleanse skin and let sit 5 to 10 minutes while you enjoy a bath or shower. The enzymes are most active when moist, says Dr. Chambon. 3. Remove with a clean microfiber cloth and follow up with your favorite moisturizer. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This has been Adrienne Booker with the Prevention Magazine program. I hope you've enjoyed today's reading from the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 51 and mostly cloudy. Mostly cloudy tonight with a low in the low 50s. Then tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high in the upper 70s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the low 50s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
Coronavirus updates, weekdays at 1.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 6 a.m.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil Sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the oil report of the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Sunday, November 8th. Shell's moves signal commitment to Permian Basin. Company sets stage for expansion in region as market conditions warrant. The story was written by Miller McEwen. Its crane perched high above the boom truck, a worker installed Shell's familiar yellow and red scallop logo atop the Oxy-Permian Plaza building at 6001 Deauville Boulevard. The logo was part of Shell's move from the location on Rankin Highway it acquired in 2012 when it purchased some of Chesapeake Energy's Permian Basin assets. Shell will occupy 50,000 square feet, the first two floors of the South Tower, when the move is complete, which is expected the 1st of December. Beyond that, it's a signal of the company's commitment to the Permian Basin, said Kevin McMahon, General Manager, Shell U.S. Shales Operations. Quote, "We're committed to the Permian Basin, and this move is a signal of that commitment," he said, as he watched workers with cactus signs install the logo. Quote, "With the economic downturn, being able to move forward with our plans and this building is exciting for Shell," he stated. Part of Shell's plans is the installation of a control room to allow Shell to conduct remote surveillance and operations intervention. The move will involve approximately 80 people who will work out of the new location when it is fully open. McMahon said the move is being done cautiously amid the pandemic. Quote, "COVID-19 is top of our mind," he said. To be cautious, he said the company has implemented a return-to-premises plan that calls for staff to return to the workplace in phases. The return can be stepped back or paused as needed. Quote, "The engineers and staff are really excited about the move," he added. "This building gives an energy and momentum to the staff." End quote. It will also help the company continue to attract engineers and local talent, he said. While he stressed that the company has no significant hiring plans, it plans to be ready for any market upturns. Quote, "We continue to assess the markets and to be ready to attract new engineers when the upturn comes," McMahon said. For the time being, he said, the company plans to continue the Delaware Basin operations it acquired in 2012 and, quote, "look to step up as market conditions materialize," he said. He continued, quote, "Our production and business have been resilient through the downturn, and we look to move that pace to take advantage of any upturn and opportunities," end quote. While he declined to make any predictions, McMahon said, quote, "We plan to control what is within our control, and our control is to operate in a safe and efficient manner and being responsible members of the community," end quote. Being a good neighbor includes donating 30,000 pieces of personal protection equipment to Midland County Emergency Management last month and helping spearhead formation of the Permian Road Safety Coalition, a group of energy companies seeking to reduce traffic accidents and fatalities in the region. Currently, the company has 260,000 net lease acres focused on the Permian Basin, and McMahon said staff is working on development plans and taking advantage of opportunities. Shell presently is running 3 drilling rigs and will continue monitoring market conditions, he said. Petro Index continues to decline, but positive signs emerge. The story was written by Mella McEwen. The Texas oil and gas economy continued its steady decline, according to the third quarter Texas Petro Index released by the Texas Alliance of Energy Producers. The statewide index declined for the 19th consecutive month, falling to 145.4 in September from 150.4 in August, and is down 27% from September 2019. The index has fallen 32% from its peak in February 2019, with 23% of that fall coming since this past February. But there was some positive news embedded in that decline, an upturn in the rig count and oil field employment. They were incremental gains, an estimated 3 rigs for the month and approximately 30 jobs, but signs that an economic bottom may have been reached. Quote, "Baby steps is a good way to put it," Carr Ingham, petroleum economist for the Alliance and creator of the index, told the reporter Telegram in a telephone interview. 30 new jobs would be nothing to crow about under normal circumstances, but after so many months to see new jobs instead of job loss, and to see 3 rigs added for the month, that represents a turnaround, he said. That is the first increase in the rig count since October 2018. Here's hoping that will continue, end quote. While the novel coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic and subsequent oil market crash intensified the contraction, Ingham noted that, quote, "I keep reminding people the oil and gas economy had been in contraction for a little over a year before COVID-19, end quote. The industry had discovered that, through efficiency and technical advances, it didn't need as many rigs to drill new wells or as many people in order to keep oil and gas production at record levels, he said. Texas oil production peaked at 5.4 million barrels per day in March, but declined to under 4.4 million barrels a day in April before adding 430,000 barrels per day since May. Ingham said he was concerned about new production coming to a market that had plentiful supplies amid weak demand due to virus-related shutdowns. But he thinks that concern may be needless because there is not enough drilling activity that can bring enough new production online to offset declines from shale wells. Quote, "We will be in the situation where demand is where it is now, and based on how we go forward with COVID-19, supplies will be held in check by the low rig count. We may be in for a prolonged period of production that is flat or a bit lower compared to where it is now," he said. While Ingham doesn't see a scenario that will lift oil prices significantly higher or result in a jump in the rig count or more hiring, he holds out some hope. "Maybe," he said, quote, "in the first half of 2021, when we're on the other side of the pandemic and oil demand grows rapidly, that could be a recipe for prices to go higher in a hurry," end quote. Other findings from the September 2020 Texas Petro Index analysis: crude oil posted prices averaged $35.61 in September, down by 33% compared to the September 2019 monthly average. posted crude oil prices in April, the worst of the pandemic prices, averaged $14.68 per barrel. The statewide Baker Hughes rig count averaged 108 in September, down by 75% compared to the September 2019 average of 427, and down by 80% compared to the 533 rigs on average in October 2018. 5,032 original drilling permits were issued by the Texas Railroad Commission in the first 9 months of the year, a decline of nearly 44% compared to the total through September 2019. September monthly crude oil production is down by an estimated 7% compared to September 2019, while estimated natural gas production remains slightly in positive year-to-year territory compared to year-ago levels. An estimated 158,000 employees were on the payrolls of upstream oil and gas companies in Texas, operating and producing companies, service companies, and drilling companies, a decline of over 27% compared to the September 2019 industry employment estimate. Quote, support activities jobs, service, and drilling companies are down by 36% compared to year-ago levels. Climate Initiative members continue cutting methane carbon intensity. The story was written by Miller McEwen. As the focus continues to intensify on the energy industry's environmental impact, members of the Oil and Gas Climate Initiative report continued success in meeting its methane and carbon intensity goals. The initiative's membership includes BP, Chevron, ExxonMobil, Occidental, and Shell, along with international companies CNPC, Eni, Equinor, Petrobras, Repsol, Saudi Aramco, and Total. The initiative just released a report showing a significant reduction in methane and carbon intensity in 2019 compared to 2018 measurements. Progress to date represents a 22% reduction in methane emissions since 2017. Since 2017, carbon intensity has been reduced to 21.1 kilograms and absolute upstream emissions by 21 million tons of CO2 equivalent, or the equivalent of the emissions from energy use of 2.4 million U.S. homes. Member companies' aggregate upstream oil and gas operations in 2019 stood at 0.23% of methane intensity and 21.1 kilograms of CO2 equivalent barrel of oil equivalent. Having surpassed its original target of 0.25%, the initiative will now aim to lower methane intensity to 0.20% and between 20 and 21 kilograms of CO2 equivalent barrel of oil equivalent by 2025. Despite the current economic downturn caused by the novel coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic and oil market crash, Julian Perez, Vice President, Strategy and Policy at the initiative, told the reporter Telegram by email that members remain committed to the effort. Quote, we will continue to work as a collective and with others to support economic recovery and to transition to a healthier, lower carbon future, he wrote. Continuing the quote, the pandemic has demonstrated that limited changes will not be sufficient to reduce carbon emissions as quickly as needed. A broad and ambitious portfolio of near-term, mid-term, and long-term low-carbon solutions is required, calling for new technologies, business models, mindsets, and regulations. These solutions can only be implemented with collaboration across industry sectors and value chains, and with governments and civil society, end quote. Perez continued, quote, it has been a difficult year for everyone, including our industry and our own companies. It has forced us to focus on what really matters, and that includes the low carbon transition. This is at the heart of what OGCI does as an organization, and is essential to us collectively, as separate companies, and as individuals. This was reflected in our actions. In May, OGCI member companies pledged to accelerate emissions reduction efforts in our own operations, but also working with others in transport and industry. End quote. The members of the initiative account for more than 30% of global operated oil and gas production and have vowed to play an active role in shaping the global pathway to net zero emissions. This is done by leveraging the collective strengths of OGCI members, continually improving and building on good international practices to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and accelerate the transition to a low-carbon future. Quote, the reduction in OGCI's collective methane emissions intensity is the result of expanded leak detection and repair campaigns, the build-out of gas collection infrastructure, replacing gas-actuated pneumatic pumps with compressed air pumps, and the reduction of methane emissions from flaring and venting, Perez said. Continuing the quote, for the carbon intensity target, the progress is also down to initiatives to reduce the carbon intensity of energy use in our operations, that is, energy initiatives, the integration of renewable power into our operations, or combined heat and power, end quote. As a global initiative comprised of domestic, international, and national oil company members that explicitly support the Paris Agreement, Perez said OGCI's mission transcends national politics. Quote, we remain committed to leading the industry response to climate change while working with all parties, governments, and stakeholders in the United States and worldwide to achieve a low carbon future, he said. OGCI members collectively invest more than $7 billion each year in low carbon solutions. OGCI Climate Investments, the more than $1 billion fund, invests in solutions to decarbonize sectors like oil and gas, industrials, and commercial transport. Devon CEO has four steps to be successful. The story was written by Mellon McEwen. Amid the downturn, oil and gas companies are focused on the fact their product will be needed for the foreseeable future. Quote, the industry is here for the long haul. Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Louisiana will have a big role to play, and I'm glad in Texas to play the role we continue to play, said Todd Staples, president of the Texas Oil and Gas Association. Hosting the association's Lone Star Energy Forum virtually, Staples asked Dave Hager, president and chief executive officer of Devon Energy, about the industry's challenges and its outlook. Quote, we produce a commodity, and we don't really control the price of those commodities, Hager responded. If you look at the oil and gas side, when you think about what makes a successful company, one, you have to have a great asset base. Fundamentally, it starts with the rock. Two, execute extremely well as a company. Third, it's appropriate in an industry where you don't control the price to have financial strength. Financial strength and operational continuity are important. Fourth is the importance of ESG. It's a reality companies have to do well at ESG issues. My personal belief is we're doing better than a lot of people understand. We have to work at getting our message out on ESG. End quote. He said, like most people, he doesn't know when the pandemic will end and oil demand return to normal, but, quote, what you can do is run a company so you can be successful in any environment. Get the cost structure down so you can survive, and when prices go back up, turn cash back to investors, end quote. Innovation, Hager told Staples, is one of the most important requirements for a company to be successful. Devon has focused on data and shaping it into useful formats to be used by the company's technical professionals. Quote, we have tremendous amounts of data. Analytics is important from an operational perspective and an ESG perspective. We've trained our computers in some cases to look for potential issues involving our flaring. End quote. He and senior management at Devon, as well as their industry peers, talk a lot about ESG, environment, social, and governance, as well as the political environment, he told Staples. Quote, "We talk a lot about the political environment and challenges from those who don't appreciate the industry," he said. While he said the industry is doing good things in ESG and political acceptance, it has lagged in returning cash to its investors. Quote, "If we can get the word out, the truth will eventually be heard and understood that we're going to be part of the energy equation for a long, long time if we deliver competitive returns," end quote. While he believes the industry will be part of the energy mix for decades to come, he has considered the call for an energy transition. Of those who call for a transition, there are those who believe it is away from fossil fuels. Quote, "That's not what it is in my mind. Energy transition is where we are providing products in an even more environmentally friendly way than we have done. There is room for improvement, and we are improving. This industry will be here. If you're coming out of college and you're worried about the future of an industry you want to work in, it will be here for anyone to have a career coming out of college," end quote.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American, November 8th, 2020. How does the election affect energy issues in Texas? By Dennis Elam, assistant professor at Texas A&M San Antonio and a 1966 graduate of Andrews High School. There is no such thing as a moderate Democrat. When they need 60 votes, they get them. Laura Ingraham on Obamacare passage. At this writing, four states remain undecided. Nevada, 6. Pennsylvania, 20. North Carolina, 15. And Georgia, 16. Trump would have to win all four to be reelected, giving him a scant 271 votes, one over the threshold. Biden at 264 needs only one. Nevada would do it, even if Trump wins the other three, which seems unlikely. This is a column about energy issues in Texas, so let's frame what this outcome is likely to mean. Let's focus on the 7th Congressional District in Houston. It is where I went to elementary school in Bel Air. The seat was Republican for five decades, including George H.W. Bush's tenure, but moderate Lizzie Fletcher, Democrat, an oil and gas attorney, gained the seat in 2018. West Point graduate and Army veteran Wesley Hunt lost 50.8% to 47.5%. Google Lizzie Fletcher's voting record and you can see she votes 100% down the line Democratic on 8 of 11 issues. On big business, she votes 0%. Now reread the opening quote from Laura. There is no such thing as a moderate Democrat. When they need 60 votes, they get them. The smart bet is that Fletcher will vote 100% when Biden sets out to destroy the oil industry. They pollute, along with AOC and Bernie Sanders. This is truly ironic. A native Houstonian votes to destroy the industry that made the city what it is. Biden says only that he will outlaw fracking on federal lands. That is a problem for New Mexico, but not Texas. As mentioned last week, recall the Obama-era EPA administrator who promised to crucify the oil industry. A Biden EPA will create the same slow death for oil as for coal, 1,000 strangling regulations telegraphing all to get out of the oil and gas business. The jobs report this morning claims 638,000 jobs were created and unemployment stands at 6.9%. I expect the virus will cease to be a big problem if Biden takes office. It will be much more important to implement the agenda he never wanted to discuss during the campaign. The stock market has been on a tear this week, flirting with 28,000 DJIA. The best explanation is an either-or. If Biden takes the White House and the House, the GOP Senate blocks statehood and renumbering the Supreme Court. If long shot Trump wins, the House hobbles many of his efforts. Damage from the federal government is at least minimized for 2 years. Expect the energy industry you know to morph into the wind and solar fantasy of Obama. The Economist. Economic Forecast Update by M. Ray Perryman, head of the Perryman Group. Our latest forecast update indicates significant declines in economic activity through 2020, despite a notable comeback from the dark days of spring, but a return to growth next year. In addition to the staggering and tragic human costs, the pandemic continues to curtail business activity. Even so, the economy, which was healthy going into the COVID-19 crisis, is signaling resilience and recovery potential. The U.S. job market continues to improve, but the pace of hiring is slowing. Total non-farm payroll employment rose by 661,000 in September, and the unemployment rate fell modestly to 7.9%. These improvements in the labor market reflect the continued resumption of economic activity that had been curtailed. Notable job gains occurred in leisure and hospitality, in retail trade, in healthcare and social assistance, and in professional and business services. Recent output numbers also indicate resilience in the economy. Real gross domestic product increased at an annualized rate of 33.1% in the third quarter of 2020, according to the advance estimate released by the Bureau of Economic Analysis, a significant rebound after falling dramatically in the second quarter. Our latest projections indicate real gross product losses of minus 3.17% this year on a year-over-year basis, with a plus 3.44% growth in 2021. Job losses are projected to be a minus 8.3 million through 2020, with a recovery of plus 6.8 million jobs next year. The prior peak job levels will likely reoccur in early 2022. Texas is projected to retrench a little more than the nation this year, but recover a little faster next year, due in part to the fact that the state's largest export sector, oil and gas, has been hit particularly hard. We are expecting Texas real gross product to decline by minus 4.27%. this year on a year-over-year basis, with a plus 4.04% growth in 2021. Job losses are projected to be nearly minus 549,000 through 2020, with a recovery of plus 315,400 jobs next year. For Texas' largest metropolitan areas, the decline in employment on a year-over-year basis for 2020 is projected to range from 3.34% in the Dallas-Plano-Irving area to 4.23% in the Houston-The Woodlands-Sugar Land area. Recovery in 2021 is expected to be strongest in the Austin-Round Rock-Georgetown, Dallas, Plano, Irving, and San Antonio, New Braunfels areas. As I have said repeatedly since the pandemic began, the economic crisis is driven by a health crisis. The recovery is going to be uneven, and a new normal won't fully materialize until effective vaccines and/or treatments are widely available. As a result, there is far more uncertainty than unusual surrounding our projections. if the recent surge in cases around the country compels significant interruptions in business activity, the recovery will be slower. In any case, Texas continues to be well positioned for long-term expansion. Stay safe.
Thank you for joining us for this week's readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 51 and mostly cloudy. Mostly cloudy tonight with a low in the low 50s. Then, tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high in the upper 70s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the low 50s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Lifestyle sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Sunday, November 8th, 2020. Life and Times. Election Stress Got You Down? By Levi Stone, RN, MSN, Chief Nursing Officer. Watching, waiting, clinging to every word upon each breaking news report as electoral votes were counted, and inching closer to that elusive 270 mark in confirming who will be